Hello, Year 11s. Miss Meeks here with the lovely Tia, and we're going to be talking about the theme of reality and appearances in Macbeth. Off you go, Tia.
In reality and appearances can be deceptive. For example, when Lady Macbeth says to Macbeth, "Look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent underneath," it's basically instructing him to appear very kind and loyal to Duncan, but really he's planning on killing him.
Good. So actually that's one of my favourite quotes, and I think that's one going into the exam that all of you should remember. Whereabouts does this take place?
In Act 1, Scene 5.
Yeah, okay, so Act 1, Scene 5, and we've got Lady Macbeth instructing her husband to basically try and deceive the king. And the idea of innocent and flower. And then we've got serpent, we've got lots of natural imagery, but also we've got the juxtaposition there between the two sides that he has to show. So if you think about the serpent as well, what could you say about a serpent?
Cunning.
Excellent, good. And we can link it to link it to some religious imagery, can't we?
Mm-hmm. From Adam and Eve.
Good, because what does a serpent do there?
Tells Adam and Eve to eat the apple and the Garden of Eden.
Good. So very much a serpent is like a mouthpiece of betrayal, and it's got lots of religious imagery there. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else?
Mm-hmm. Also, at the beginning of the play, the witches say fair is foul and foul is fair. That could suggest that Macbeth isn't all as everyone thinks to be. For example, everyone believes that Macbeth is someone who's very brave and very heroic, but really he has an ambition to be king, and he achieves this by killing the king.
Excellent. And I think that fair is foul and foul is fair, it's quite an easy one to remember if you're going to go in there and remember a quote. But it also talks about, so it's the idea that nothing is how it seems, which is what you said, but also this kind of weird lack of balance that's going to happen in the story. And if you listen to Mr. Shirley's podcast on the Great Chain of Being, we can see how through the treacherous act of killing the king, the world kind of gets turned upside down, and the natural order of things is really thrown off.
Horses eating each other.
Pardon?
For example, horses eating each other.
Yeah. Okay, carry on.
Also, some characters trust appearances too much. For example, Duncan trusts Macbeth, even though Macbeth kills him for when he announced him as Thane of Cawdor, when he had that same mistake by trusting the original Thane of Cawdor, which represents how like people trust appearances and don't think through their...
Because, I mean, Macbeth in the beginning is a really different person to the end, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So he starts out and he, you know, all hail Macbeth, or, you know, brave Macbeth. He's this kind of fierce guy. And then, you know, towards the end, he's just completely different. And so do you think Duncan's, like, mistaken to trust him?
I think so.
Okay.
But at the same time, Macbeth wasn't originally going to kill King Duncan until the witches, in a way, started that.
Do you think that... If Macbeth hadn't have heard the prophecy, that he would have, his kind of inner reality, his inner sort of ambition would have come to light or not?
No, because before he did decide to kill King Duncan, he was saying good things about it and making the final decision that he wasn't going to kill King Duncan until Lady Macbeth comes in and says, "No, you're going to kill King Duncan."
What was one of the signs that pointed him towards killing the king when he couldn't decide?
The dagger.
Yeah, good. And so he kind of hallucinates, doesn't he? So that links in quite nicely with this reality and appearance, because there are so many hallucinations in this play, and kind of things that are signs and symbols that represent something else. Okay, carry on.
As well as that, Malcolm tries to avoid trusting appearances too much, which is why he's sceptical of when Duncan was murdered.
Yep.
And he, for example, he tests Macduff for his loyalty to Scotland by making up stuff, saying, "I have sex with lots of women, I drink, I'm not a good king." And if Macduff was to say, "You can still be king," then that's not a good person to look after Scotland.
Good. And I like that the mistrust in the act of killing the king, because how do they cover it up? You remember?
Don't they give the daggers to the... don't they kill the guards and then put blood all over the guards?
Good. So they pretend that they've found out about this and then kill the guards as revenge, when actually, obviously, obviously they've done the deed themselves. So they're trying to cover up... they're trying to cover up what they've done.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything else.
Nothing else for appearance versus reality.
Mm-hmm.
What about when Lady Macbeth is going bonkers and she hallucinates? What do we see then?
At the beginning, she was able to hide her emotions and the guilt because, like, for example, when Macbeth was hallucinating and seeing Banquo, she was taking over, like, the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
But then afterwards, she her guilt was becoming too much to the point where she was sleepwalking and... she ended up committing suicide.
Good. And do you know any of the quotes from when she's sleepwalking? It's all right if you don't.
All I remember was out dance
bar. Yes.
And the Thane of Five had a wife, which is like representing her guilt.
Yep.
And feeling sorry for all the others because she was only responsible for King Duncan's death.
Yes, but this outdamned spot, and there's quite a bit there that she talks about all the perfumes of Arabia could not sweeten this little hand. And what she's in this scene where she's hallucinating, she can picture her hands are covered in blood and she's trying to scrub them. That's when she's saying, like, out, like she's talking to, as if she wants the spot, the stain, to get out.
The smell.
Yeah, and then she thinks it smells of blood and she thinks that she is responsible, and that. That guilt actually, like, affects her reality. Her reality becomes warped and she can't grip onto what's real and what's not in this scene. So reality kind of also ties in with their guilt and their... because when they do start to feel guilty or when they start to do something wrong, their reality is warped. So, for example, Macbeth, having the vision of the dagger, and then Lady Macbeth afterwards when she's feeling guilty. So because reality has been warped and ruined by this killing of the king, that's what causes these hallucinations and things like that. Okay, is there anything else?
Nope.
What about one last final quote?
False face must hide what the false heart doth know. No.
False face must hide what the false heart doth know. And what does that mean?
It's difficult for characters in Macbeth to tell appearances and reality apart sometimes because so many characters aren't what they seem. Those who trust easily, like Duncan, will suffer the consequences.
Yeah, and I think two people who are quite good at sort of spotting appearance versus reality is when we have Donald Bane saying that there are daggers in men's smiles, so he can kind of see through the illusion that Macbeth and Lady Macbeth are making. Well, at least he thinks that someone close to the family have betrayed them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much, Tia. I hope this helps with all of your revision.